Bava Metzia, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud 2:10. Now this Mishnah really has three separate parts to it, like with three separate topics. The first is really a straight continuation of the previous, and not too much of a chiddush. It says, Matzah Berefes, if you find a cow in a refes. Now refes would usually be translated as a cow shed, but the point here is that this is some kind of shelter which provides partial protection for the cow, meaning if it was like a proper, like a shed, like a stables that close on all four sides, then of course there's no issue of Hashava Saveda. On the other hand, if it's just some kind of like the cow is sheltering under some kind of, you know, tree or something, just some sort of coverage, stay out of the rain or who knows what, out of the sun, then of course the cow is, to the contrary, is obviously not protected, it's gone lost, and therefore there will be a mitzvah Hashava Saveda. This is the cow's finding shelter in a place where it's sort of protected, but sort of not. And therefore the questions you might think that, oh, you have to get involved just in case, says the Mishnah, Eino Chayba. No, you don't have that obligation. You can assume that the owner knows it's in this you know, cow shed that doesn't provide proper protection, fully protection, but it's enough, and he's okay with that. But if it's Bershus Harabim, if you find the cow like just wandering around in the middle of the street somewhere or something, so then certainly the owner has no idea where it is. Different from exactly what we mean by middle of nowhere, or middle of the road, whatever the story is. But the point is, your common sense will have to prevail, that the halacha will reflect as well. And Chayav Ba, if it sure seems like the cow was lost, you have to get involved to try to get it back to its owner. Period. So that's part one of the Mishnah. Okay, now we go to part two of the Mishnah, and we're talking here about like a general theme of these next lines is how we deal with conflicting mitzvahs. So the case of our Mishnah here, the first case is the person who finds lost object is a Kohen, and the object is located in a place where if the Kohen would retrieve it, he would become Tamei from Tamei Makes, meaning it's in like a graveyard, in a cemetery, on top of a grave or next to a grave. The idea being that once the Kohen goes within Dal Ramos or over or under a source of Tumah, he becomes not allowed to go there because of Tumah. And that being the case, the question is, what should he do? Should he do his mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, or should he do his mitzvah of not becoming Tamei? Now, the general rule is that mitzvahs ase doche los ase. If you have a conflict between a commandment to do something and a different commandment not to do something, so then the to do, the mitzvahs ase, trumps it, it gets priority in that, and you do that. That falls away, however, when we're talking about a mitzvah that has both an ase and a los ase with it. As things will shake out over here, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda certainly is mitzvahs ase. We know that already. At the same time, there is the lo sase, the prohibition of lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav. The Kohen may not allow himself to become tame through exposure to a corpse to tumas mace. So that sounds like you have a situation of an ase against a lo sase, and you should therefore say the ase should win, and the Kohen should go into the graveyard, allow himself to become tame, and retrieve the lost object. But what the missing ingredient here is that in addition there's a separate mitzvah ase, a positive commandment for the Kohen to remain tahor. The pasuk says a little later on there in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, it says kadoshim yihiyu, they the Kohanim shall remain holy, which is understood to mean they have to remain tahor. And that being the case, you have a mitzvah ase of Hashava Saveda against a mitzvah ase and a los ase of the Kohen becoming tummy, and therefore the Kohen has to forego the mitzvah, if you will, and not return the lost object. That's step one, and that's what the Mishnah says here. It says, "Im haisa beis hakfaros." If the setting in which this lost object is inside a cemetery, in a place where a Kohen can't go, and the person who's finding it is a Kohen, I point out the Mishnah doesn't mention that at all, but that's the case here. So says the Mishnah, "Lo yitamela," the Kohen may not become tamei as part of the process of retrieving the lost object. He can't do that for the reasons I just explained. Now I'm going to speak out here that actually you have a mitzvah ase and a los ase going in both directions, because the mitzvah Hashava Saveda, both is mitzvah ase of Hashav Tashivim as well as a los ase of lo lisalem. You can't ignore it. Notwithstanding that, there's a mitzvah ase and los ase of the nefesh lo yitama ba'amav and kadoshim hiyu. So the bottom line is that that's not relevant. Once you have a mitzvah which is protected by both a mitzvah, a lav, and an ase both together, it's sort of like sacrosanct, unless you have some other additional, you know, specific limud on this activity, you just can't break it, even if it's in conflict with another mitzvah. So that's what's happening here. You have kind of two against two, but the truth is that's not relevant. The point is, even if it's one mitzvah's ase against the two of an ase and los ase, you wouldn't carry it out. Now, the next case of the Mishnah says, what happens if you have not one mitzvah's aseh, but two different mitzvah's aseh against the lav? Even if the lav is protected by an aseh also, how does that shake out? So the case is, Amar lo aviv hitameh. What happens if the Kohen's father tells him, go become tameh and retrieve the lost object? So now you have two mitzvah's aseh. You have the mitzvah's aseh of being mechabed, honoring your father, and in the mitzvah aseh of Hashav HaSaveda. So that's two aseh's, so maybe that can push off an aseh and a lav. So the answer is no, it doesn't. Okay, it just doesn't. O she'amar lo al tachzir. Or similarly, if the father says, in a different case, there's no necessarily even case here of a Kohen or Tumah, simply the father says, you may not return the lost object. So you have a the father's mitzvah of not returning it against the mitzvah to yes return it. In both those cases, lo yishma lo, you do not listen to the father. Okay, so now, meaning that you do, the father's, the rule is that the mitzvah to honor your parents does not override any mitzvahs in the Torah, really. And the reason why is because it's also learned out from a separate limud. So so we have two things. First of all, in terms of two mitzvahs aseh, don't push off an aseh and a los aseh. That's step one. That's no. Once you have an aseh and a los aseh, it's sacrosanct. Then in terms of the question of, well, maybe two against, what's with the father being different, and that the mitzvahs aseh of a father doesn't trump anything, like in terms of like not returning the lost object. So the answer is because the pasuk says, ish imu va'aviv tira'u, a person has to revere his father and mother, actually mother and father to be exact, the es shab so sai tishmoru, and also it in the same pasuk says the one has to keep the Shabbos, from which it's learned out that they're both mitzvahs, and the pasuk ends up by saying because ani Hashem Elokeichem. So the point is that the driving factor for honoring your parents is because Hashem said it, and therefore Hashem said other things like keep Shabbos, and therefore if your parents say something in the Shabbos and Hashem says something else, you don't listen to your parents, listen to Hashem, and keep the other mitzvah. So therefore, like in a way, the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim is a little bit subordinate, wouldn't trump other mitzvahs. So that's the point here of our Mishnah. The Gemara asks, wait a second. Anyways, you have the mitzvahs aseh of listening to the parents of Kibbutz Av and your tira'u, the honoring of your parents, the revering of your parents. Fine, that's a mitzvah aseh, but you have the los aseh and the aseh together for Shavuos Aveda. So, like we already, that's old news. We already said that once you have an aseh and los aseh of Shavuos Aveda, you're not pushing that off. So, why would you even think that Kibbutz Avim is a little different? The answer is because you might have thought, says the Gemara, that it says both kavod es avicha ves imecha, honor your father and mother, and it also says really a pasuk of Mishlei, but anyways, it says kaved es Hashem mehonecha. You have to honor Hashem with your stuff, your assets, your property. The point here is that there's a kaved and kaved, honoring your parents, honoring Hashem. You might have thought somehow there's some kind of equivalence, and therefore, ironically, you might have thought incorrectly that the same way that the honoring of your parents is some sort of like subset or connected to honoring Hashem, and therefore it should actually be more important or less important than other mitzvahs, but that's incorrect. That's incorrect. You have this lima to tell you, no, honoring your parents is, of course, very important, and it's a great mitzvah, it's a wonderful mitzvah, but it doesn't get honored at the expense of the violation of other mitzvahs. Okay, fine. That's the second part of the Mishnah. Now, the third part of the Mishnah really jumps in out of nowhere with no introduction whatsoever, and it's dealing with the mitzvah of prika and te'ina, which is the mitzvahs of loading and unloading an animal under a burden. Now, why we jumped into that is a good question. There are really two basic possibilities. One is that in the previous Mishnah, now this one in a Pishat Tes, we had said that, you might have to return a lost object again and again and again. Shneimar Hashev Tashivem. That double lashon tells you that there's no limit of the number of times you have to do it. You can't say the guy's being, reckless or negligent or something. Over here, the mitzvah of prika and te'ina, of loading and unloading an animal, it also has a similar kind of drash. You have to help him numerous times because the pasuk says azov ta'azov, you shall certainly unload the animal. Okay, so that's one possibility. A second possibility, maybe they're both coming together to make this happen, is that in the psukim in Mishpatim, the mitzvah of Hashav HaSaveda is followed immediately by the next mitzvah of prika, of unloading animals. And that being the case, they kind of run together. In any case, whatever the reason is, Right now, we lapse into the mitzvah of prika and te'ina, the mitzvos of prika and te'ina, loading and unloading animals. Okay, so let me just do that, discuss that for a moment here in terms of introduction. The mitzvah of prika, porek, is to like offload, like when it's porek ol, he like offloads the yoke of whatever, the mitzvahs or something like that, chas v'shalom. So the pasuk says, this is in Shmos Chav Gimel, pasuk hei, it says, ki sira chamor son acha, if you see the donkey of your enemy, rovet tachas masao, and it's like, it's crouching under its weight, meaning it's like, its back is ready to break, because of the load on it. So then the pasuk says like something kind of like a rhetorical flourish almost. It says, v'chaldalta me'azav lo, would you, like, question mark, would you resist helping him? Would you shirk that responsibility? Of course not. Of course you wouldn't. Rather, says the Mishnah, says the pasuk, excuse me, ta'azov imo, you have to unload the donkey with the guy who owns the donkey. Okay. And really, you've got there, for the record, you have the mitzvah of unloading the donkey, which has two potential issues, okay? I just want to speak them out here. Two potential issues. One potential issue is, the donkey's back is breaking, and that's like a financial loss to the owner, because if his donkey's back breaks, then he's lost his donkey, and that's very sad for him. The other issue is that the donkey's back is breaking, and the donkey is like a sentient being, it's a creature, it's an animal feeling pain, and there's potentially an issue of tsar balei chayim, to prevent suffering, undue suffering to animals, and therefore you have a second issue as well. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But those are two potential issues with the issue of prika. Now the other thing is te'ina. Te'ina is helping the fellow to load up the donkey, meaning to, like, you know, make sure that the load is balanced properly, so the donkey is, you know, able to walk properly and carry the burden that the owner wants it to carry. So that's a pasuk in Devarim. The pasuk says, "Lo sira es chamor achicha, you shall not see your brother's donkey, o shoro, or his ox, noflim baderech, like falling along on the way, v'salamta, and ignore it, mehem, and ignore it, they cover your eyes from it, same kind of word as from the Hashava Saveda, rather, hakem takim imo, you will help him to fix the, you know, te'ina, to load up the donkey or the ox better with him so that the donkey can carry its load properly. Here you have, right, like it's asen lo sase, kind of similar to Hashava Saveda. Now, says the Mishnah, now we're just going to lapse into that right away. Once we know you have the mitzvah prika and te'ina, so what happens if parak v'ta'an, if you like unloaded and reloaded, I guess trying to get the balance just right, so it's equally weighted in the front and the back and the sides of the animal, whatever the story is, even if it takes many, many times, afilo arba v'chamisha pamim, even four or five times, really echoing the same kind of words as the phrase we had called Mishnayos ago, then chayav, then you have to still do it again and again and again. Shneemar, as the pasuk says, azov ta'azov, you shall certainly unload it. That's the literal translation. That's the idiomatic translation, but it means twice. Azov ta'azov, unload, you shall unload. So the repeating tells you, even if it means many times, same as before, kind of the same kind of logic as before. But now, says the Mishnah further, halach v'yashavlo, what happens if the owner of this donkey goes, sits himself down under a tree somewhere, and he says, va'amar hoel va'alecha mitzvah, listen, buddy, you've got a mitzvah, im ritzoncha lifrok prok, if you want to do your mitzvah, go right ahead and unload the donkey, I'm sitting and relaxing. So then, says the Mishnah, patur, the onlooker, the non-owner of the donkey, he's exempt from offloading the donkey, sheneemar imo, because the pasuk said that you will unload the donkey, but only imo, with him, right? It says, azov ta'azov, you shall certainly unload donkey, imo, with him. So if he's not participating, you don't have to either, okay? It's not your, not he can't force you into that and kind of trick you into it, if you will. Okay, so that tells you already that, like, if he's not taking his half of the responsibility, you know, to help him, and that would mean not just for the fact he might be losing his donkey because donkey breaks, he has a financial loss, but also the donkey would then be suffering, and really it's his fault, not your fault, that the donkey is suffering, because he has primary responsibility to have, like, an auxiliary assistant role to play. However, says the Mishnah, im haya zaken chole, if the person who owns the donkey is elderly or sickly, and therefore he can't do it himself, he simply can't, then chayav, now the obligation kicks in for you. Again, not explicit if the reason why is because you have to help him from financial loss, losing his donkey, you have to save the donkey from its suffering, or both. Not clear yet. Now, further says the Mishnah. We're going to resolve that discussion. We're going to discuss that in a moment here. It says mitzvah. Okay, now it says mitzvah min haTorah lifrok avolo liton. Literally, the words of the Mishnah mean there's a mitzvah from the Torah to unload, but not to reload. That's not what it means, because we just said there's a mitzvah to load and unload from the Torah. What we're talking about here is there's a mitzvah from the Torah to be porekt, unload for free. Again, we're not explaining necessarily it's because you have the obligation to save your friend from loss, kind of like a Shavas Aveda, or if it's that you have to save an animal or both, but avlo litom, but to load it up. You don't have such an obligation, meaning if he's not going to pay you for your time, kind of the exact same sort of framework as we had back with the Shavas Aveda. If you're on the clock, you can get reimbursed for your time, and you're allowed to charge the amount of you would charge to do an easier job if it's an easier job, etc. So those things are kind of applying over here too. The point is, so you can get reimbursed for that. And if he's not prepared to pay you, then you don't have to help him, because you don't have to lose your money to do this, you know, to become a packer. That's a job. So you have to help him, but he has to compensate you for that work you're doing. Okay, now Rabbi Yossi Glili Omer Imhaya Alav Yasser Al Maso. He says if the animal is burdened with an inappropriately large weight, you take it a little donkey, put a whole refrigerator on its back, so then of course it's crouching on its way because it's crushed because the owner is reckless and irresponsible. Ein zakuklo, then you, the onlooker, don't have to get involved to save the animal and unload it. Shneamar, because the pasuk says, according to Biosik Lila, the drush is, it says, tachas masa'o, the animal is crouching under its burden. So he darshens out, masui shiyachol la'amod bo. It's the kind of burden which is appropriate that the animal could normally, you know, if it was arranged properly in terms of balance, the animal should be able to stand up beneath it. Okay, so therefore Biosik Lila says, you don't have to get involved if the owner was reckless and he's to blame over here. Now, the reason Rabbi Yossi Glili says that is because Rabbi Yossi Glili says, first of all, he has his drasha. And second of all, he'll say, well, drasha aside, you still have the mitzvah of Tzar Baalei Chaim, the poor animal being crushed under the refrigerator. So Rabbi Yossi Glili holds that the mitzvah of Tzar Baalei Chaim is a derabanan. And therefore he holds that the rabbi says you're not allowed to cause wanton pain and suffering to animals, but you haven't got an obligation to relieve them of pain that someone else caused them. That's not your problem. That's someone else's problem. So that's his position. Now, the halacha is like the Tanakama, meaning we hold that Tzar Baalei Chaim is a doraisa, and we also hold that you only have an obligation to do the unloading for free. The loading up, you have to help your fellow Jew, but you are allowed to charge for that. As for the unloading, you're saving him money, because his animal could be breaking, and you're saving the animal as well, and therefore you have an obligation to do that even at no payment whatsoever. Now, as far as the machlokas goes regarding whether one has to do the te'ina, the unloading for free, that machlokas in the Tanakama Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakama holds that one does not need to do it for free, and the reason is because we have two separate mitzvahs, one of prika, one of te'ina, and the Tanakama holds like this: if there would just be a need to have the two mitzvahs on equal footing, it could have just said the mitzvah to do the te'ina, the loading up. And I would learn from Kol V'Chomer, of course, you have to help unload the animal because you're saving the money and the animal suffering. So the fact that there's two separate mitzvahs, one of Parika, one of te'ina, tells you they're on different footing. And the one that's for Parika is telling you that you have to do it even for free, whereas te'ina only if you're getting compensated for it. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that. Rabbi Shimon says, if you've just had the mitzvah of te'ina alone, you would think that the thing that you're loading up is not the load on the back of the animal, but the animal itself, which is falling down under its burden, and therefore you think it's helping the animal up, that's helping the animal, helping the loss, and you wouldn't realize to make a separate limud to porek, to unloading as well. The reason is because the pasuk says, I'll read it to you, the ambiguity, it says, lo sira es chamor achicha os shoro noflam baderech. You shall not see the donkey or the ox of your friend noflam baderech. So we understand that to mean that it's like it's stumbling under the burden, v'silam tamahem, and you ignore it. Hakem takim imo, you have to help him, the owner of the animal, to rebalance, reload up the animal. But Rabbi Shimon says that could mean just the animal itself needs to be lifted up off the ground, and because he understands that, he understands that they're both on you can't make a limud, they're both on equal footing, they both have to be done for free. Halach, however, like I said before, like Tana Kama, that the loading is done only with compensation, whereas the unloading must be done even for no compensation.